Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
A few years ago, Ann Wojcicki started a company called 23andMe. That company provides anyone who uses the firm's services with information about their own genetic code. With that information, people can determine their own ancestry, and they can also determine whether they have potential genetic health problems in the future. I sat down with Ann in her home in Palo Alto to discuss the future of 23andMe and how it can help solve genetic health care problems. So for those people that have not done 23andMe yet as a test kit, tell us what 23andMe actually is.
So 23andMe is a company that allows you to see your own DNA, but it also helps you understand what are your genetic health risks, what is it that you're potentially predisposed to, something like type 2 diabetes, atrial fibrillation, but it also helps you understand your ancestry. So where are you from in the world? How are you connected to other people? And we make it social. Like, one of the big differences with 23andMe is, like, we have it's a social platform. So you could share, like, you and I could share our data together. We could potentially be relatives. You can find new relatives on 23andMe. And you can also share some of your health information.
So when people take this test, and I should say I took it recently, I haven't gotten the results back. I'm nervous about whether I'm going to get good or bad results. But all you do is you spit into a little tube.
Yeah.
You mail it back to you, and then how do you get out of somebody's saliva all this information?
Isn't it? It's amazing that it's a little tube of spit. So you spit in the tube. It actually takes about 10 minutes to spit. You have cells from your cheek, and you know cells that come into that spit, into the saliva, and you send it back to us. We take part of that sample. We extract the DNA. And we run it on a gene chip. You know, it's a technology that Illumina has made. And that's part of it's, you know, thanks to this company, it's a very affordable test. You know, it's under $200 if you want to get the health and the ancestry. And it takes a couple weeks for us to turn it around. And then you have your genome. And what 23andMe really has done is built all of the tools, all the interactive software tools, so that you can navigate and explore what does the genome mean for you.
So when you give the results back to people, what are they typically most surprised to learn?
We're first and foremost really concerned about health, returning health results. And so we spend a lot of time thinking about, okay, if I'm going to tell you you're genetically high risk for Alzheimer's, how are you going to respond to that? We have all kinds of additional layers of consent. We have, you know, physician videos around it. But I would say what the biggest surprise is for people is that they find out that they have additional family members that they did not know about, or the family members that they have, they did not necessarily, you know, they find out that they're not necessarily related or genetically related. So I would say the family connections are frankly actually become the biggest surprise for me. I would say one of the other biggest questions is like, what is that definition of race? So a lot of people find out that they have African ancestry or they have Jewish ancestry, but they never knew that they had either of those. So then what really is that definition of being Jewish, or what's that definition of being African-American?
Well, the co-discoverer of DNA was James Watson. And he once told me that he had his human genome mapped, one of the early people, but he said he didn't want to know if he had a predisposition to Alzheimer's. And I wonder, or a lot of people have that view, which is, I'd like to know what my genes would be, but don't tell me if I have a predisposition to Alzheimer's because there's not much I can do about it. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Or is that
I think it's actually, I would say you have sort of two camps, and both camps feel very strongly. You have a group of people who very much want to know everything about themselves, and they don't necessarily, a report like Alzheimer's doesn't necessarily have clinical utility in the capacity that you're going to have a treatment or you're going to change anything, but it has high personal utility, meaning that those people might decide they create a will, they retire earlier, or one of the main things that we see people do is they go and they buy long-term care insurance. So what we see is that they take a personal utility and they're actually proactive with that information.
Now, in the consumer world, what people like is repeat customers. Mm-hmm. And so if I did as I just did, I mm-hmm. took a 23andMe test, mm-hmm. once I get the results, how do you monetize me in the future? What are there different things you can sell to me? Or because that's what usually companies like to do is go back to their customers and sell them something else.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
It's interesting. You know, I could look back, like if I ever do a retrospective on 23andMe, was it a mistake to not have a subscription product earlier? So we do today have a subscription product, an early stages of the subscription product. The original ideas with 23andMe was that we'd get you in the simplest way possible, because we didn't want to overly confuse the messaging about a subscription or not, but it was so unknown. Like, why do you even want your genetic information? So the idea was like, I needed to seed the market just with like my early adopters is like, just like, what is this information, and make it as simple as possible. But what I've seen over the last 16 years is that my customers are really engaged. So for example, over 85% of our customers are consenting for research. Like, really high numbers of people opt into research. Over 50% of my customers are coming back on a quarterly basis.
So if I subscribe to one of your subscription services and I have a predisposition to disease A or B, mm-hmm. you're likely to send me information on that from time to time. Is that what you mean?
We'll potentially update that report, or okay. we'll potentially send you additional. But the main thing we did, we recently acquired a company called Lemonade Health. And the reason why we acquired Lemonade Health was twofold. It's like, mostly to answer the question that you just asked here. It's like, you find out that you're higher risk, well, now what can you do? So first and foremost, we'll be able to have medical protocols about how can we actually deliver genomic-based care. No one has adopted genomic medicine. So how can I adopt genomic-based care in a primary care setting to really help think about how do I engage, like, how do I help you be healthy? So first and foremost, we're gonna like solve that question for you. Second is really about the engagement side. You find out you're higher risk for heart disease. Well, like an article just came out about caffeine consumption and heart disease, or sleep and heart disease. I want you to update me. So the company then will start to update people to say, hey, here's the latest about what's happening. Here's things that are in your hands that you should actually start to go and think about.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com. Stiefel.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Now, you have a fairly distinguished family. I'd like to talk about it for a moment. It's been written about, as I recall. Your father was a physics professor and the head of the physics department at Stanford.
Correct. Yeah.
Your mother is a distinguished educator and wrote a book about how to raise distinguished and accomplished children.
She sure did.
One of your sisters is an epidemiologist at the University of California, mm-hmm. professor. Mm-hmm. Another sister runs YouTube.
Yeah.
And then you are the founder of 23andMe.
Yeah.
So, what was it like growing up on the Stanford campus with all this talent around you?
I think the best thing about how we grew up is we were surrounded by an academic culture of people who really prioritized education and learning, but also really encouraged people to pursue their passions. So what I love about all my sisters, like we both, you know, Susan and I happen to be in higher profile roles, but everyone is pursuing something that they really love and they really enjoy doing. So I think that the best thing we all got from our parents was to pursue your passions, no matter how esoteric or whether or not they're monetizable or if it's, you know, an academic kind of pursuit.
Right, so you grew up on the Stanford campus. Mm-hmm. I assume you were an all-A student, your sisters are all A's. So where did you want to go to school in college?
You know, I kind of debate, I mean, my father went to Harvard. Like the reality is you know things based on your parents. So my father was really lucky. He went to Harvard after he came from Poland. He was in school and he went early to Harvard. My mom went to Berkeley. So I knew my parents always encouraged me. They would say, you know, go, like it's important to go. It's important to have education. It's important to go to a good school, but there's a lot of good schools. And I would say today people overemphasize like, you know, what exactly what school I have to go to. There's so many great schools and frankly, the great school finds you. So I always wanted to go. I thought Harvard would be fascinating. My oldest sister, she went to Harvard. I used to stay with her at Harvard. I was fascinated by people who wore tweed and had leather patches. So I decided not to end up going to Harvard. I went to Yale for one weekend and I fell in love with Yale and I'm a Yalie. I just loved it.
Okay, and what did you study there?
I studied biology.
And did you want to go to medical school?
I did. I thought about going to medical school. I loved research, but I wasn't, I can't say that I was an incredibly talented researcher. I would say that detail and that precision. There was a lot of wonderful postdocs in the lab who helped me get through my research, but I love the science. I love molecular biology. Like it keeps me up at night that you have this incredible set of processes going on right now in your body.
So you went to Yale, you graduated, you decided not to go to medical school, but what did you do
after?
Well,
I actually always, you know, and I joke a little, I'm on the Kaiser Permanente School of Medicine board, and I sometimes joke, I was like, at some point I'll still go to medical school. Like
might go to medical school.
I don't know. I mean, it's like it's the most interesting job you can have, I think. But I decided not to, and very randomly I got a job. I randomly got my resume sent to the Wallenberg family in Sweden. And they offered me a job. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know what it was. But I thought it was interesting. Like it was like a 1-year opportunity, it paid me $40,000. I thought I would never make that much money again. So I figured I would go and do it for a year.
So where did you do this?
So I worked in New York for almost 10 years. So I started off with the Wallenbergs, and then I went to a series of hedge funds afterwards.
Right. So nothing could be higher in life than working for hedge funds, right?
No, exactly.
So did you feel there was a higher calling than working for a hedge fund at some point?
I was. My best friend's father used to call me a leech on society. I took it fondly. I was like, look, the reality for me is I was learning. There was no better education about. It was like getting a PhD. Like, I went to medical meetings every week. I was speaking with experts every day. Like, I knew the healthcare system so well. But I did feel like after 10 years, I was investing in a system that was fundamentally not really the system that I wanted to be part of. And that I wanted to do something. I feel like you can't, if you're going to complain about a problem, then you should, you know, figure out how to fix it.
So what year did you decide to start 23andMe?
It started thinking about a lot in 2005, and then it was 2006 that we actually started.
So for people who haven't paid attention to the genome world, mm-hmm. in the year 2000, I think it was, mm-hmm. the federal government said that two researchers, Francis Collins, working at NIH, mm-hmm. and Craig Venter, who had a private company, had basically discovered the human genome.
Correct.
So that happened in, I think, 2000. President Clinton said that was a tie, and they both were given credit for it, leaving yeah. aside the intramural fighting that had gone on uh-huh. before. So it was then thought, okay, the world's going to be so much better now that we know the human genome, it's been mapped.
Yep.
There'll be no more diseases. We can fix all diseases. But what happened for the 10 years or so, or 15 years afterwards, yeah. it didn't seem like much happened.
Well, that's such an interesting question. And this is also something that plagues me. Like, Francis Collins and President Clinton at the time came out and said, this human genome, like sequencing the human genome, is going to transform how we diagnose, treat, and prevent all human disease. So it's a huge statement about what's going to happen. And I would argue one of the biggest issues that's happened today is there has not been adoption of genetic technology. And I would say, point back to, again, part of my dissatisfaction with the investing world is part of the reason why it has not been adopted is that a lot of genetic information is about prevention. So for instance, if I tell you, you are likely to have an adverse event from this antidepressant, or you're potentially higher risk for atrial fib, those are not well monetized medical events. You can make a lot of money treating atrial fibrillation, but you cannot make money in the absence of a disease. So for instance, if I successfully keep you healthy to 100, you are not a profit center for the healthcare world. And so genetic information, a lot of that potential, is not really adopted in the primary care setting, in part because there's not necessarily a monetization path. So you're starting to see that more in cancer. You start to see it more in pregnancy-related, but it has not been widely adopted. I would say the second thing is that the US is far, far behind countries like the UK. So the UK has an incredibly impressive program called the UK Biobank, where they have 500,000 people who have consented, who are participating in a nationwide program. And it's amazing. Like, everyone, including 23andMe, uses the data that comes out from the UK Biobank. The US has totally fallen behind. So we have a program called All of Us, where we're trying to get people, it's supposed to be 1 million people, but the UK has already leapfrogged us and said, we have a 5 million person program now that's going to be, you know, running ahead. So the US, in part, there's also been a lot of politics around, you know, how is this going to execute? You know, what are the ethics on it? If we want to really capture the benefit of the human genome, you need a massive, I would say, multiple countries that come together and have like 100 million people who come together so you can really understand what the code is.
The US is obsessed not so much with UK, but it's with China. So is China ahead of us in this area or not?
Well, China's crushing us too, but we don't know as much about what they're actually doing. So I would say, like, the one big worry that I always have is, like, China knows how to execute, and they know how to lead on a program. And China has made no uncertain statements about their interest in genetics and that they want to be the world leader in this the genetic revolution. So China has made huge efforts. They have huge programs, and they also have something called the Beijing Genome Institute, which is an incredibly well-funded, well-funded with the government, and a massive sequencing shop where tons and tons of discoveries are being made, and there's nothing in the US or nothing in the UK that's even comparable.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses like yours effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
As you look at the company you've created and you look at what you've done with your life, how do you think you're having an impact on the world for the betterment of the world?
I think in two ways. So one, I personally believe there's no more interesting challenge than trying to understand the code of life. And I think that 23andMe is frankly the best positioned entity, public or not public or for-profit or non-profit. We are by far and away the best positioned entity to solve the question as to what does the human genome mean and how can you apply it to individuals. So one, I think we are going to be the leader in deciphering the human genetic code. Second, I transform people's lives. Like, it's what keeps me up at night and it's also what keeps me going. I tell someone that they're higher risk for breast cancer and that leads them to get a mastectomy and I can potentially prevent an early death. Like, that's amazing. Or I can reconnect to family members where they've been lost for years. Like, one thing 23andMe does is that we generate incredibly meaningful information for individuals.
By the way, on my 23andMe test, I'm waiting to get the results soon. How can I be certain that nobody will know the results other than me? How can I be sure that you're not selling the data to somebody else?
So we honor the fact that, like, this is your genome and you should do with it what you want. So that means, though, I'm not gonna prevent you from sharing it. I'm going to give you options. So we ask you, do you want to opt in to research? And over 85% of our customers are now opting in. So, but it's not a default. We actually ask you, like, you have to elect that option. If you wanted to share your genetic information with me, you have that opportunity, but there's no defaults. Like, nothing is mandatory. So it's all about you being in control.
So your company went public not too long ago through a SPAC process. I think it was a SPAC that was involved with Richard Branson and Virgin.
Yep.
So any regrets about going public or through a SPAC?
No, I mean, it's interesting because it's definitely not, you know, the most positive of market times. But I loved the process. Like, being public, the process of going public is a lot of work. And so when we decided about, or we at least looked at opportunities to go public, like, one of the big considerations for me was, how much time is it going to take from me? And I wanted, like, I'm very much focused. I'm very much of a CEO that, like, I like to operate and I like to be in the weeds. Like, how are we executing? So I wanted to make sure I was minimizing time, is like, how much time is it going to take for the whole process? The SPAC process is incredibly efficient. I got incredibly lucky with Richard Branson. He's a very high quality investor. He has an incredibly educated team. He's actually invested in healthcare before. He's run, you know, benefits companies. He's had a care company in the UK. So he knows this space. And he was specifically looking at healthcare in a consumer space. So I'm happy with the process was smooth, and we ended up in a really successful situation.
But many tech companies have seen their prices go down. Mm-hmm. So you have as well, I assume.
We have as well. Mm-hmm.
So does that bother you? And you say, well, we'll come back? Or what is your view generally on the future of tech companies in terms of the valuations they once had?
I think coming from Wall Street has given me a good perspective on this. You know, Wall Street is not always a reflective of true value. And I can also say that there's like no shortage of opportunities that people have missed. Where there's a diamond in the gem, like, you know, or a diamond in the rough, where I could look at like the early days of Google, or I could look at the early days of Amazon, where people did not really understand the story. And I would put us in that bucket. A lot of people don't quite understand what we do. They either think, are we ancestry? We also have a biotech side, which we haven't even talked about, is like, how do you translate all this data into drug discovery? So we're a complicated story. The market conditions are bad. You know, markets are efficient over time.
You're largely seen as a consumer company. Mm-hmm. And consumer companies have relatively lower PE multiples. Tech companies and biotech companies, when the market comes back, have higher multiples. So Can you transform your company into being a tech or biotech company by working on disease solutions as opposed to just giving people their information?
Mm-hmm. We are. That's actually one of the beauties. So 23andMe, when we started the company, remember I said it was like all about like exploring the genome. And so one of the things we do is we have this huge research arm. Like, how can I help best understand what the human genome means? And that's part of the whole process from the very beginning is how do I consent people for research, engage them in research, learn about them, and then I have a whole analytics team, a data science team that's in looking at all that data to see how do I translate it, either as a consumer product back to you, or actually now for research and discovery. So I have over 100 people in the 23andMe therapeutics arm of the business. We have a major collaboration with GSK. We have over 50 programs that are in development, and we have two actually in clinical trials. So we're 100, like absolutely thinking about how people will benefit from the human genome is about actually translating that information into therapies.
GSK is a very large healthcare company, medical research company. What are you doing specifically with them?
Specifically, it's on target identification. So we're specifically working with GSK to look at the data that 23andMe has generated to see, can we identify new novel drug targets?
So you've built a successful company, but you might not want to run it for the next 10, 15, 20 years, or do you? And if you didn't, would you want to go into government? If the president called you to serve our country, would you go into government, or would you start another company?
I love what I do. And I feel like I have this luxury with 23andMe that it keeps evolving. You know, we started out just as a started out a consumer company. We're thick in research. We got into drug discovery in 2015, and now we're getting to the delivery of care. So I've been really lucky with 23andMe that it's been endlessly interesting. And I'm surrounded by incredibly talented, brilliant individuals where I learn from them. And what I always advise people to do is like, you should take jobs where you're learning. And if you stop learning in a job, then you should quit. And like, frankly, when people leave 23andMe, like I say, if you're not learning anymore, you should move on. So I'm 100% committed to 23andMe. That said, my other passion is other direct to consumer. Like, I want to build out a true consumer empowered healthcare world, like one that is outside of the existing system. And there's no greater force than government and the opportunity for government. So, you know, there's always ideas. Like, I could always do a sabbatical.
You have three talented sisters, two very accomplished parents. Mm-hmm. Do your parents ever say, well, guess what your sister just did, to kind of say you should work even harder and be more, even more accomplished? Do they put rivalries together, or you don't have that problem?
No. My parents are lovely, and my sisters are, you know, my sisters are quick to, you know, make me humble. I mean, it's part of why I live with my sisters. Like, I had somebody over today. Like, we had a coffee chat that with somebody in the company today who, you know, we auctioned this off. And my sister was laughing. She's like, someone paid money to eat with you? And I was like, thanks. Like, those are the kinds of reminders I get from the family.
So your mother wrote this book about raising talented mm-hmm. children. Do you raise your children the way she raised you?
I think each generation improves upon the last generation. So I think that we have taken, I couldn't read the whole book. I read parts of the book, but I wrote the foreword.
Okay.
And my take on that was more to like give the perspective from the child. Like, I know my mother's telling you about how she raised us, but let me tell you about my mother. And so I think my parents are incredible. Like, I'm really grateful, and there's lots of things that I learned from them, but I'm definitely not adopting everything they did.
If your children go to Harvard and rather than Yale, you'll be okay?
Let's not talk about that.
No, too early.
I mean, listen, my kids are so interesting and so different. You know, I want them to be passionate. That's the only thing I care about, is I want them to wake up every day and say, like, I love what I'm doing.
And would you be upset if they went into something important like private equity?
Are you giving them a job offer?
Thanks for listening. To hear more of my interviews, you can subscribe and download my podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen.